Hi everyone. This is going to be kind of a funny intro because, well, one, I apologize, this episode is super late. I was supposed to post Sunday, but Sunday was Christmas Eve, and my family celebrates Christmas, so I was really busy and I didn't get my shit together in time. But the other part of this intro that's funny is that this episode, there was a moment in it where my avoidant attachment kicked in super, super strong because of something that Lori said that she absolutely did not mean to leave me feeling validated with her statement, but that was unfortunately the outcome because BPD. And I wanted to actually share with you guys just a little bit of how we dealt with that in a few audio clips for you to hear, just kind of like a little vulnerable share here. And I'm not going to go in depth to what was said that was invalidating or why, or even really how we handled that. But I just really wanted to share how successful we were in our interaction and kind of like conflict resolution. And I'm really grateful to Lori for like understanding that this was something that it wasn't about her. It was just me naming my BPD symptom and that I wasn't angry with her, but that I did need to kind of acknowledge it. So let's give her a listen. Thought I would just send you an audio message in Instagram because I just wanted to follow up on our podcasting last week, and I wanted to just kind of like share a little bit of my feelings with you, but I really wanted you to hear my tone so that you didn't feel like I was like upset or potentially attacking you or anything like that, because that's not my intention. Of course, I mean, we never know what impact is going to be like, but that's not my intention. So just wanted to send that and let you know before I send another message, letting you just kind of in on what I'm thinking.
Hey, thanks so much for using voice notes. I feel like that's a good approach. Thank you. I appreciate you reaching out because, yeah, I didn't know exactly what was happening, but I knew that I didn't feel great about that recording either. Like, I had a good time talking to you, but I think it just like went in a direction that like I don't think either of us really expected, maybe. And so I think that maybe it kind of caught us both off guard in some ways. But I like apologize for sure that I like that was really invalidating.
Okay, so enough of our back and forth, but I just really felt super grateful that Lori responded really, really positively to my reaching out to her. And it was really scary for me to reach out. Normally, I just would never say anything, but I wanted to challenge myself to use my skills, particularly with Lori, because we haven't always been able to do that with each other over the last few years. And so I'm really proud of the way that we handled it. And obviously, there were like 10 minutes of back and forth audio recordings that I'm not going to share with everybody. But the outcome was that Lori responded really well because I explained and like front loaded why I was sending these voice messages and what my intent was, and that it wasn't to attack her. And so like I was essentially using like the DBT Dear Man skill in a really informal way. And she responded super positively and was really validating and reassuring. So enough of our drama, and let's get into the episode. Let me take off my glasses and like take a...
Let's get real into this right now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Bold, Beautiful, Borderline. This is Lori and Sarah just catching up because we haven't talked to each other in a very long time.
Yeah, and we got on the topic of my health insurance. So, and I was just like, oh, God bless America. It's like such a long story. It's unreal.
Okay, but I feel like I heard part of the story because you messaged me about them creeping your Instagram. Is this the same story?
Okay, let's start at the very, 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 very beginning. Okay. So
hit me.
Moved from Washington to Oregon in July. My Oregon marketplace. So, because
I thought you were in Washington. Is it technically Oregon that you're in?
I moved out of Oregon into Washington.
Okay, sorry. Okay, yes.
Did I swap them?
Yeah, you did. And I was
And
like, wait, I'm so confused. I've Googled your house many times because I'm a stalker.
So I moved out of Oregon into Washington in July. When you're self-employed in this country, you buy health care independently. So for the last like 2 years, I was purchasing a fabulous, wonderful, great, albeit expensive, but great health insurance experience.
Yeah, like worth it if you have health issues, right? Like you need it.
Yeah, so I was buying it through the marketplace, through Regents, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, which like I've had for the majority of my adult years and never had any issues with, always loved, blah blah blah, whatever. So I figured like moving from Oregon to Washington, it was basically just going to be like kind of a transfer. And so in August, I put in my application for my Washington Regents insurance. And I kept going back on the website to like check out what I needed to do to pay my premium to enroll for like, because it's $500 a month, so you have to pay. And it like wasn't uploaded. It wasn't uploaded. It wasn't updated on my account. So then I've literally been on the chat. I was like in August, I was on the chat with them, like, hey, my account's not updated. I need to pay my premium. I need my insurance to be active. My Oregon insurance is closed.
And
And
just quick question. That kind of shit stresses me out beyond belief, and I can't function. Is that the same for you? Like forms and talking to service?
literally no idea. I
Okay.
mean, honestly, it's probably worse for me because I have ADHD.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I can't fucking do it. I literally can't do it. It kills me. I just
Yeah, I
can't.
mean, I haven't paid any of my quarterly taxes this year.
Right.
So I don't know where my divorce decree is. Like, I don't have any doc, like I lost my safe with all my documents. I don't know.
Like lost it, like out of the van, or like
In between one of the 12 moves in the
right,
last few
okay.
years, yeah, I don't have a birth certificate. I don't have a passport.
Hopefully it turns up. That'd be good.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I would argue with you on, that my inability to complete forms is like cognitively probably worse than yours.
Yeah, but I mean it's I assure you that it
I'm
is
sure it's bad.
incredibly stressful for me. I can't, like I just can't do it. I just continue to pay a phone bill for a phone I haven't had for like a year because I can't. I'm like, I don't know how to deal with this. But yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to like up you. I'm just saying I assume it's very bad for you, and the answer is yes.
I could literally not explain to you how many hours of time I've spent crying and screaming on the phone with Regents in the last 4 months. So it never updated to my account to pay my premium. And they just kept saying, you need to wait, you need to wait, you need to wait, it'll be there. And then I would call and they would be like, you need to wait. And then come October, I like call again, probably like my fourth or fifth call. And they were like, well, the reason it's stalling is because we need to verify your home ownership, like your residence of Washington, in order to blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, well, you guys should have fucking told me this
Yeah,
because,
I can give you my house stuff. Like, the fuck?
well, I was like, I have not seen my psychiatrist. I paid $300 out of pocket for my fucking Vyvanse this month because I don't have health insurance. And you guys told me that I was going to have health insurance come September. And they were like, well, you need to submit these documents. So then I submitted documents, and then they didn't say, they said that those documents weren't acceptable. And I was like, I literally fucking sent you the closing documents on my home. I own a fucking home.
Yeah,
Like,
you'd think
how is
that that
that
would be all
not?
they need.
So then I call them back, and I at this point I'm like expecting that Regents is going to sue me. The number of times I have yelled at their employees, and every single time someone answers the phone, I'm like, all right, listen, don't go through your spiel with me. Let me tell you my story. And then she was like, well, you need to resubmit additional documents, and you need to write a letter explaining why this has taken extra time. And then I like started bawling on the phone with her. I was like, you have no idea I have a 23% working memory. This is where, like, I love you, Lori, but I don't think it's possibly as hard for you because I literally have almost no working memory function. Like, I could not possibly remember all of the things, lady, that needs to be written in this fucking letter.
Well, and also, like, you gave them what you thought that they needed, right? Like,
so, well, she's saying I didn't review the appropriate types of documents that I needed to submit.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
So, of which I didn't have them because I didn't get my new driver's license yet because, like,
you I just took moved
4 days off and then started working again. So then I was like hysterically crying. I was like, I couldn't possibly write this letter. Like I'm going to give you some more documents. So then I fucking took photos of every single document I had like sitting around in my mail. I still haven't gone through my mail since like fucking 2021 and emailed it to them. And then they said it was approved. So that was November. By the time it got approved.
Okay.
In order.
So you started this process in August.
Correct.
And then they weren't actually giving you health insurance for 3 months.
Correct. Because of all the back and forth.
And hypothetically, if the health insurance did go through, is there a clause that says that, like, well, I've been trying to get health insurance for 3 months through you. Can you like retroactively submit or no?
Okay. So,
spoiler alert, never mind.
So in September, I told my providers, like, I don't know what to do because I don't have health insurance. They say they're going to backdate it, right? Well, assuming they would backdate it from like the end of September, you know, not 3 months. So I didn't see my providers in September. I paid out of pocket for several meds. Then I saw providers in October because they told me that it was going to be active. Then in November, it was finally active and I was able to get my Vyvanse in November covered and like some of my other meds covered. But in these 3 months of time, each month, there's been like a significant lapse in my med coverage, inability to see providers, but then being like, well, fuck it. I have to see them because you have to see a psychiatrist once a month to get your stimulants filled. Whatever. So then come like early November, they're like, okay, you have health insurance. Now you owe $1,500 of insurance because we're backdating it to September. And on the phone with the lady, I was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. And she just like sat there and I was like, health insurance in this fucking country is a Ponzi scheme because of you fucking idiots. I'm not fucking paying that. Like, go fuck yourself. I was like, I can't. I was like, I said to her on the phone, I was like, do you have $1,500 laying around for health insurance coverage that you didn't fucking get? And she was like, actually, she was the kindest of everybody that I spoke to, which was probably like 20 or 30 different people over the course of these 3 months, whatever. She was like, no, I don't. You can call X, Y, and Z number and see if they can like make an exception or whatever. Come December, they terminated my insurance because I didn't pay them $2,000 for 4 months of insurance up front. Probably like last week, I called them and I was like, I can make a partial payment on this, but I'm not giving you $2,000. Like, I have $2,000, but I have it for other things. I cannot afford to give you $2,000. Because I need it for other things.
Well, and you've probably already paid like over $1,000 in those last couple months on the shit that you're not even sure they're going to retroactively pay you back for.
Correct. Right? So then I'm on the phone with this lady and she was like, your insurance was terminated. You should have checked your mail. You would have gotten information about that. And then I was like, do you know anything about ADHD? I want you to be... Like, I want you to be a fucking therapist and see 25 people, 25 client hours a week. I want you to sit through listening to the number of fucking rape stories I hear every week, the number of fucking safety plans I hear with clients every week, the number of fucking, you know, like suicidal thoughts and planning that I do with clients every week, lady. You have no fucking idea what I do with my life. Furthermore, like, if I don't have ADHD medication, which I haven't had off and on through these last 4 months, I cannot do the things that you're fucking telling me to do. You are lucky I'm alive. And I was like,
it's actually like it's like a vicious cycle that you're causing, because I can't get the meds that I need, which means I can't fill out the forms, which means I can't get the meds that I need. Like,
yeah. So then I was like, I said, well, you need to put a request in and I'll make a partial payment on this so that this can get reinstated. I was like, if I don't have health insurance, I am at great risk for suicide and inpatient hospitalization, which is going to cost you guys a fuckload more than this is costing you right now. And she was like, okay, I'll put an emergency request in.
That's a good justification, actually. Sadly, they don't give a shit if you die by suicide or not. No. But they do care if they have to pay inpatient psych treatment. So that's a very good threat, actually.
Yeah. Well, they rejected it and denied.
Oh. Okay. Well, it was a good attempt. I mean, like, that's, I wouldn't have thought to do that. That's a really, like, legit thing to say. But they rejected the whole thing.
Yeah, they rejected the whole thing. So now I have to try to, now I have to pay out of pocket for Vyvanse this month and all my other meds and pay back my providers that have already billed for the services I have seen them for, which is like probably around $1,000, and not get injured for 20.
Yeah, no shit. So, okay, just because I'm, the American system confuses me sometimes. This out-of-pocket insurance that you've been talking about with Blue Shield or whatever, was that connected to your job?
Okay, so I had started a job in September that I was excited about, and it was in my new community, and it was something I was really looking forward to. But one of the major reasons that I decided to do this was in September, all of our student debt payments were re-implemented.
Because during COVID, they paused them. Is that correct?
Yeah, during COVID, everybody automatically went into deferment, which means you didn't like accrue any interest. I was still making payments off and on over those years, but not like, it was like per my budgeting and like what I was feeling.
Not, yeah, like extra cash you had to not pay interest on. Yeah.
Yeah. So my student loan is coming back and I was like, well, if I can ditch the health insurance, you know, that would be nice with student debt coming back, because my student payment every month is like 500, but I try to do like 1,000 every month. And so I'll get this job and then Talon can have health insurance too. So I did the job, and then come 60 days, I went to apply for health insurance and they told me that they don't provide partners with health insurance.
Yeah. I remember you telling me that and I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, the whole point.
Yeah. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to continue doing this. So I'm back in my practice and maybe I'll revisit that whole thing in the new year. But
so you just quit then?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't just quit like right away.
But, no. But like you quit because of the insurance situation.
Yeah, because of the insurance situation and just because I didn't have the amount of flexibility that I needed.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was like, for those of you who weren't around for the initial conversation about this, like, you were very much like, I don't know if I can work a 9-to-5. Like, that's not how my life functions.
Yeah, and fair. It wasn't a 9-to-5. Like, I got to work from home when I wasn't seeing clients and I got to write my own schedule and stuff. But when clients needed to reschedule, which was often, then my whole like second job, which is my private practice,
right,
get messed up, and that just like isn't fair in my private practice clients who I mean, no. And I'm making more money, you know, with that work. So,
and you can pick your clients. You're more likely to have clients that like you've had a long connection with, and that like,
yeah, I have long-term relationships with my private practice clients, you know, a couple of them I've been seeing for 3 years. So
yeah. Can we talk about that other situation? The work weirdness that was going on?
Oh yeah. Well, that
if was, not, that's okay. But I'm just very curious for the outcome of that.
No, we can talk about that. But let's just like close on the health insurance piece.
Okay.
So, So yeah, so I don't have health insurance and I haven't had health insurance since September, but I thought I had health insurance. And Regents can kiss my ass. And I mean, like, the profound amount of stress that this has caused me is unreal. And
yeah, I can't even imagine. And the thought that, like, you don't have health insurance, which must cause incredible amounts of stress too.
Yeah, I mean, I can't snowboard.
Yeah, or like fucking, I mean, the last time you needed to get your nose fixed was because of going for a walk.
Like, yeah, and I didn't get my nose fixed because I didn't have health insurance.
Exactly. Fucking Christ. That was so ridiculous.
Yeah, so I'm kind of bummed we started talking about this because now I'm just like, it's just, I don't know.
I'm sorry we brought it up, but I do think it's important.
No, it's okay. There's like, been so many phone calls. There's been hours and hours of waiting on hold. There's been like having, like, hearing people being so frustrated and annoyed with me and me feeling like I'm the one that's at fault. And like, I mean, I guess I'm technically the one that's at fault because I didn't pay them $2,000 and I can't easily like read their letters and fill their forms out and stuff, but I have a literal brain disorder that cannot be fixed. Like, yeah. I have severe ADHD.
And what does help it? You need money for insurance to help. Like, not fix, but like make it livable.
Yeah.
Does Talon also not have insurance then?
No, Talon hasn't had health insurance for like a while, probably like a year.
Shitty. I shouldn't ask. We can cut this, but like, does he have like health stuff that needs insurance as much as you have health stuff that needs insurance all the time?
Yeah, I mean, testosterone. So he pays out of pocket.
Out of pocket, time. Yeah. Okay.
And he sees his therapist and pays her out of pocket. But that was like one of the biggest things about trying to get like a W-2 job was like, to be able to have health insurance.
Yeah.
Because marketplace health insurance for him and I would be like $800 or $900 a month. So.
And would that cover like your meds outright?
Like, oh, no.
No. Okay. Because I was going to say like eventually, depending on the coverage, like that might actually be cheaper, but who knows, right? And if they accept your claims, which they probably don't all the time.
They do not all the time. Like some of the meds have to be made through a compounding pharmacy. So like that one medication we were talking about is through a compounding pharmacy because the approval was denied, and that's a couple $100 a month.
At least.
Yeah, it's about $250 a month. And,
oh, okay. I know that we're going to post this video on Patreon, but I also have not eaten in a very long time. So Aaron just brought me McDonald's. So I'm going to eat and I'm sorry in advance.
No, it's okay. We don't need to post the video now because I'm just like fucking re-traumatized from this. Yeah, it's terrifying to not have health insurance. It's terrifying. I think it would be different if I didn't have any mental health conditions like I have, but.
But I think honestly, like from a Canadian perspective, it would be terrifying even if you didn't have any health conditions because you don't know what's going to happen. You could get hit by a car. You could have a stroke. Like, you know, obviously the mental health conditions and like the need for regular health care makes it worse. But like even just like the accident shit is terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still paying a couple $100 a month on some of those hospital stays. Like hospital visits from several years ago. It's unreal. Like I make a lot of money and my bills every month are probably $6,000, if not more. Seven.
Yeah, it's nuts. And imagine people who don't have like good jobs.
Yeah. And also like in order to sustain working, I have to have like a very good like self-care routine and practice. And that's why, like, I literally haven't podcasted in months and I haven't been to Super Feelers and I'm not very, like, you know, like I'm not very present because
you're trying to survive.
I'm really trying to survive. I mean, it's nice that like Talon and I love our house here and like the community is great and our quality of life is super high. So that's like balancing it out. But yeah, it's quite a go of it.
Yeah. And the world is getting so much more expensive.
Yeah. They told me that I'll have health insurance though, starting January 1, as long as I pay for it and I won't have to make those back payments and stuff. So.
And that's with the same insurer?
Yeah. Cause I had completed the reattestation or whatever for the new year.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah. So they're just going to be like, let's just forget about this and move forward. Which is,
yeah, that's literally what she said, is like, you'll have health insurance starting January 1, as long as you make the payment on the portal. So that'll only be like a $500 payment. And I've been with my providers for so many years, they'll let me make payments on the bills that I owe them.
So, and is that for you and Talon then?
$500 a month? No, that's just for me.
Gotcha. Okay. So then he'll have to find his own or pay out of pocket still.
Yeah. I mean, I will, in the new year, I'll decide if I'm going to put him on marketplace with me and pay for it, or if I'm going to try to find another W-2 job that's like remote. I mean, I have one lined up by a company that's like offered me a position and is like doing the credentialing and background stuff that would start February, but I don't know if I'm going to pull out or not.
Yeah. Well, especially if they're maybe not going to cover Talon's insurance too. Like,
They'll cover it, but it's still going to be like $700 a month. Right. So it's like $150 for me a month, but adding in my partner would be like $700. So I don't know that it's really like all that worth it, other than I would have someone paying it into a 401k and paid vacation time and stuff. But the other thing is, like, I love my private practice so much. And now I'm credentialed in Washington for my own, like, private practice that's not contracted with an agency. Because in Oregon, I have my own practice, but it's contracted with an agency. They do all their own, they do the billing and stuff, which is great. But now I'm credentialed in Washington and can do all that on my own. So, like, I don't know if I'm going to decide to just stay private, like fully self-employed for myself, and then just like pay out of pocket for our health insurance, because I don't like really love the idea of starting and then leaving another job if it ends up not being like the right fit for me. And also because I can make more money
just doing more
practice on myself. But then it's this very tricky game of no paid time off and no like employer match for a 401k or whatever. So we shall see.
That sounds incredibly stressful. I'm sorry. So the other job thing about the Instagram thing.
Oh yeah. The part of the other reason that I left that job was not just the health insurance piece, but I guess, like within the first month of the job, a supervisor from the office found me on Instagram and followed me, but then promptly unfollowed me. So it was obviously like a finding me on Instagram and trying to stalk me situation, which I went into the job just feeling like I'm going to be who I am. And if it's a good fit, then I'll stay. And if it's not, then I won't. But I'm not going to change anything about who I am. The work that we do with BBB and Super Feelers is more important to me than any paid job, because I can find another job, and because I don't need a job because I am self-employed. So I recognize that's quite a lot of privilege to have, to be able to like exist the way that I do on social media, because I'm not going to get fired in my private practice. So anyways, I knew that she had followed me and then unfollowed me, and I'm just like, well, okay. And I was navigating the shame that came from that and whatever. And then 2 months after that or whatever, my supervisor at that job, she was fabulous, but she texted me on my personal phone one like random day and was like, hey, can I call you? And I was like, yeah, of course. So she calls me because I didn't like go into the office really if I was not, if I didn't need to be there. So she called me and I was like, hey, and she said, hey, I feel really awkward about this conversation, just so you know. And I was like, okay, well, now I do too. What's up? You know? And she was like,
that's like the worst thing you can say to somebody with anxiety.
Literally. And so, she was like, so I guess there's some like rumors and gossip going around the office about your social media presence, because some people have found your social media. And I guess there's some things that are concerning about your social media. And I went into the whole spiel with her of like, yeah, you know, that's a bummer to hear. I told myself when I accepted this job that I was going to stay who I was, and that there was always going to be a possibility that if somebody found me online that they wouldn't like what they saw. I said, but I need you to know that my legal name is not on my Instagram. So you can't search me and find it unless you find my podcast and like go through all of those channels. And she was like, you're kidding. Your legal name is not on it. And I was like, no, my legal last name is not on my Instagram. My middle name is, which nobody would know that. And, I was like, there's nothing that ties me to this agency. Like, I don't tag my workplace. I don't even have the city that I live in tagged in on my Instagram. And it's not even technically in the same city as this employer was. And then I said, furthermore, the work that I do online is social work. I believe that women's bodies are allowed to be seen, and advocating for anything otherwise is promoting rape culture. And she was like, I 100% agree with you. That's why it feels so uncomfortable that I'm even having this conversation with you. But I wanted you to know that you're going to be getting a phone call from HR, like the head HR. And I wanted you to be prepared ahead of time.
That's really good of her.
Yeah. Except for that HR never called me. So,
and then that was like, what, a couple weeks before you ended up leaving anyway?
Like 6 weeks.
Oh, 6 weeks. So long enough that HR should have, like, they probably were like, fuck, we don't actually want to. We were hoping that she would just delete all her shit. And then you pinned it instead, which I loved.
Yeah. And I said, like, my Instagram, which is not connected to my name, is connected to a podcast that is more important to me than any job that I could have. And I said, the work that we're doing on our podcast is reaching very wide audiences. It has over 100,000 followers or listeners, downloads, whatever. And I said, and I'm like using that work to build a free peer support community online, which is very important. And I said, and through that work, I've like had the, I'm scheduled to train at the Oregon Health Sciences University on borderline. I didn't tell her on borderline, but I said on mental health things. And I said, and my co-host has conducted master's level research through the work that we are doing. So, you know, it may just seem like a slutty Instagram, but this, I didn't say that, but I said, it may just seem like an Instagram to some people, but like, this is actually deeply embedded in social services and social justice. And I will not apologize for the way that I show up online, because I spent a lot of time, like most of my life, hating myself, and I'm not going to do that anymore. And she was great. She agreed with me, and she was really awkward and trying to like linger on the phone. I was like, I'll wait for HR to call me and I'll let you know what happens. Like, I'm not in any way like upset with you. I really appreciate you, and this is not your fault. And then I was like, have a great day, you know?
Well, and like, honestly, the heads up is good, because I can't even fucking imagine if you had gotten a call from HR without that relationship out of the blue like that. That would have been hard as fuck. I mean, harder than the original conversation.
Yeah, it would have been annoying, but I would have probably said all the same things. Although, yeah, I would have been like annoyed because it was a man. But yeah, that phone call never came, but that also made it very uncomfortable for me to ever go into the office and like severely panic inducing. And so I just like never went into the office. And
yeah, because like the way that she framed that of like, oh, like there's rumors going around means that like more than one person has seen your Instagram and are and not in like a, oh, cool, like look what she's doing way, like a judgy way.
Absolutely. Which, you know, fuels all of my self-hate and my fucking, you know, borderline stuff. So yeah, that was really interesting. And I mean, I think I knew that that would happen because I'm not stupid. You know, like I know that people like to stalk people on the internet. Like I know that's a thing that happens. But
like the like implied slut shaming of it doesn't have to happen, right? Like it's one thing to like find somebody on Instagram. That happens all the time. But like to then use that as like reason to get rid of somebody, which they didn't do, to be fair. But
yeah,
sounds like that was definitely in the conversation, or implicitly say like you need to take it down, which might have been what that conversation was.
Yeah, I mean, I would have sued them. So I don't think they would have liked that, but maybe that would have paid for my health insurance issue.
Right.
But the other thing I said on that phone call was like, you know, the vast majority of the women that we're working with have had sexual assault.
100%.
And if we are slut shaming our staff and we're operating from a non-trauma-informed lens with our staff, then we're not operating from a trauma-informed lens with our clients. And I won't participate in a system like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, being a social worker, being a therapist often includes a lot of mourning. And I don't know that people realize that. Like, it's like constantly mourning that there's not a lot that you can do, constantly mourning what a failure the system is and how limited your abilities are. And then just finally having to decide, like, because I spent a lot of years in macro services, you do macro social work, like, I finally at some point had to decide, like, I can't fight the system anymore because it's going to kill me.
You know? Totally. Yeah. Like it's killing people all over the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So. Yeah. Those who work in it and those who are served by it.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just listening to the audio, I put served in quotation marks because it's harming a lot more people, I think, than it serves most of the time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. This is not the podcast that I wanted to have.
Sounds like a blast, Sarah. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like low-key so annoyed and triggered. I wanted to like have a good end of year review, but maybe we can like do that another time when I feel good because I'm just.
We could do a really quick end of year review right now if you want.
I'm not going to have fun with it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of shit going on. Did you get married?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that you were thinking about doing that in like the summer, so I wasn't sure if it happened or not.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Hi, friends. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Bold, Beautiful, Borderline podcast. Lori and I are so grateful that you're here with us on this journey, and we can't wait to dive into more topics in the future with you all about borderline and even have some more fun and exciting guests to join us on the podcast. If you really enjoyed this episode, we would love if you would rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. We would also love to see you interact with us on social media and on our Patreon page. The links to that are included in the show notes, so check us out there. We would be incredibly honored to get to know you all as you get to know us and our recovery stories. We love you, and we'll see you next time.